Good morning.
Mwasize mutya.
Tell your neighbor good morning.
Buza kumulirwana wo mugambe wasuzo tya.
What a joy it is to be together in the Lord's house.
Chasanyu nyo kubera wa mu nyumba ya mukama.
I want to trust that you've worshiped our Lord already this morning.
Era
multiple ways.
Nesiga katonda ntibadde musinza katonda mungereze njawulo.
In 1920,
mulukumi mulenda abiri,
there was a man named Charles Ponzi.
Waliwo omwami yogobaita Charles Ponzi,
an Italian immigrant who made a fortune off lying to people.
Eyali omwami omutambuze naye ngate alimba abantu.
In fact, he was so good at deception that the government named a type of fraud after him as the Ponzi scheme.
Yali musajja mulungi nnyo mukulimba oba yali mulimba nnyo nnyo nnyo. Era nga ne government yewabwe yatuuka n'emutuuma erinnya eryo erya Ponzi, enkola ya Ponzi bwe bagiyita.
Ponzi tricked thousands of New England residents in investing into a postage stamp scheme.
Omwami ono Ponzi yalimba abayingirandi abazungu bangi nnyo ng'abayingiza mu nkola ye eyo ey'obupanzi.
He promised people that they could make a 50% return in 90 days off their money.
Yabagamba nti singa bateeka sente mu Ponzi eyo scheme yayogerako babeera bagenda kufuna sente nyingi nnyo mu nnaku kyenda zokka.
And every time someone invested, he would take the money and give it to the other people that had invested.
Kakati bwe yakwata abantu bwe baleetanga sente ne baziteekamu n'akwata sente ezo zennyini ate n'aziwa abantu abalala.
Creating this illusion that they were profiting.
Era abantu ne batandika okukkiriza obulimba nti baali bafuna amagoba mu kye yali
akola.
Era waggula ennyo mu ngeri y'enkola ye,
he was making over $250,000 a day, which is equivalent of $3 million in our money today.
Yali akola nga obukadde busatu. Yali angakola nga obukadde busatu obwa dola mu nsangi zino.
$3 million a day.
Nga zaakola olunaku. Dola.
Unfortunately, his scheme failed.
Naye ate ekyewuunyisa ekiseera kyatuuka enkola skimu ye n'efa.
And in August 1920, he was charged with 96 counts of mail fraud, and many people lost their money.
Which year?
1920.
Mu lukumi mu lwenda abiri abantu bangi abajja nga bamuvunaana olw'okubanga sikiimu eno yali emaze okulemererwa.
Fraud has taken people all throughout history.
Era atutte wala nnyo abantu mu byafaayo.
And I would suggest to you the greatest manifestation of fraud is actually seen in the Christian church.
Eranga nobulimba bunji nyo obwengeri ofana bwe butyo obuyinza okubanga bulabibwa ne mukanisa eyabakristayo.
The text before us gives us evidence of this fact.
Eranga ekitundu ekiri mu masekkati gaffe kituwa amazima gano.
To guide us in this glorious text, I want us to look at four key words. I want us to look at four key words. First word will be hunger. Second word will be curse. Third word, amazement. And the fourth word, lesson. May God help us look within our own hearts to see if there be any fraud within our own lives, so that we can be true and pure. Not only before others, but most of all before the Lord. I'm
going to
take you quickly to two texts before we look at our text to lay a proper background for the passage before us. Start with me in Matthew chapter 3, and I want to remind you of John the Baptist's message. You all remember John the Baptist and his message. He would preach continuously, loudly and boldly, repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at
hand.
He would proclaim that message. Well, as he was proclaiming it, people were being baptized. But then he looked out and there were people baptizing that were not demonstrating fruits of repentance. And who were they? The religious leaders. Look with me in verse 7. This is where his preaching takes a higher level. It says in verse 7, when he saw many of the Pharisees and scribes coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?"
Verse what?
3:7.
Na yewe yalava abafarisayo abanji nabasadukayo na abanji bajirira okubatizibwa nabagamba nti mwe abana b'emisota,
bear fruit in keeping with what?
Repentance.
Look at verse 10. Even now, he tells them, repent and repent now, because right now the axe is laid at the root of the trees. And every tree, therefore, that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into fire. John is saying this, listen, you better repent, and you better repent now. Why? I'm about to bring judgment. It's judgment is so close, the axe has even been laid at the foot of the
tree.
When Jesus began his ministry, he had the same message in chapter 4, verse 17. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at
hand.
And Jesus would cry out to the people, please listen, come through this narrow gate, don't go through the broad gates. Why, according to 7:15, he warns that there's many false prophets and their ravenous rules dressed in sheep's clothing.
And
7:16 says you will recognize them by their fruits. And he says, listen, evaluate the fruits, because every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the. Don't be deceived. Many will say, Lord, what? Did we not do this and this and this? And he'll say, depart me, you workers of iniquity.
Banji abogera nti mukama wange, mukama wange, mukama wange. Nina bagama muve wendi mwabakola ebyobujemu.
You must say, Lord, Lord, but you also must do the will of the Father.
Wogamba nti mukama wange, mukama wange, era otekedwa okukola ekyo kitaffe kyayagala.
Fake religious leaders were told clearly, repent because judgment is coming. Now we come 3 years later. The week before Jesus' death. And we see the text before us. And before we look directly at chapter 21, I want to show you the parallel passage. Look with me in Mark chapter 11. As you know, in Matthew 21, Jesus has come in a coronation and he declares, I am that king, I am the Messiah, chapter 21.
Njagala mujukire bulungi nnyo nti tumaze okulaba ekitundu ekisooka tumaze okulaba nga Yesu Kristo yeerangirira nti yenze oyo kabaka wa bakabaka nga jjamu we yagira mu kitundu.
And Mark picks up in chapter and the second day on Tuesday.
Era Mark wa yena natandikira ku lunaku oluddako.
In Mark 11 it says this, read it with me if you will. Mark 11 verses 12 to 14.
Mako 11 ni Mako 10 nemu musonyiwe.
It says this, on the following day, that's after the day of the coronation,
verse 12,
when he came to Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing in a distance a fig tree and in leaf, he went to see if he could find anything on it.
Abo bwakya enkya bwe baali bavudde mu Besaniya n'alumwa enjala. Abo bwe yalengera omutiini oguliko amalagala n'agutuukako era wozzi alabeko ekintu.
For when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs.
Abo bwe yagutuukako n'atalabako kintu wabula amalagala kubanga sibwe ebyali ebiro eby'emitiini.
And he said to it, no, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And the disciples heard it.
Naddamu n'agugamba nti okusooka leero okutuusa emirembe n'emirembe omuntu tayanga ku bibala byo. Abayigirizwa ne babiwulira ebyo.
Verse 15 says, and they came to Jerusalem and he entered the temple and began to drive out whatever, and we see then the cleansing of the temple.
Atebo tutu kamulo nyiriri ole 15 musula yemu mako ne tulabanga ate ayingide okulongosa.
Now verse 20.
Olunyo makumi abiri.
And they came and they passed by in the morning.
Verse
19, and when evening came, they went out of the city. And verse 20, and as they passed by in the morning, this is now Wednesday morning, they saw the fig tree withered away to its roots. And Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered. Here is Mark's account. So according to Mark, Jesus is coronated on Monday.
Yes, Christo, yatandika ku
on Tuesday he wakes up and he beelines to Jerusalem.
Yes, yakoyimira omuti guno ku Monday And as he comes to
Jerusalem, he sees the fig tree.
He goes over and
realizes there's no fruit on it. Curses it. And then he comes into Jerusalem and throws over all that's going on in Jerusalem and condemns Israel for their false worship.
And
then he goes home. The next morning is when the disciples see this fig tree. That is the story from Mark's perspective. Now, let's turn to the first word and look at Matthew's account. Matthew 21, verse
18.
The first word is hunger. Matthew 21 verse 18 says this, in the morning he was returning to the city, he became hungry. As we know from last few weeks, we recognize that during Passover there were millions of people that fled to Jerusalem. The place was overflowing with people, so it was often people came in the day and they left at night, so they had a place to sleep.
Ekiseera kino abantu baali bangi nnyo mu kibuga era ekibuga ne kituuka ne kibeera nga kijjudde abantu ne batandika okuba nga batandise okusula mu bibuga oba mu bubuga obutono oba butawuni obutono obwali bwetoloddewo.
And according to Matthew's gospel, they were out in Bethany and they began to come back in
to
the
city.
However, when you look at Matthew and Mark's accounts and you compare them, you see quickly that Matthew condenses the two events into one event. Two events that took place on two different days into one event and appears to be on one day.
Katie Mako Chakola afunza ekitundu kino ebintu bino byonna n'abeera ng'abikolera mu lunaku lumu.
It appears if you were thinking it was chronological that it all happened on Wednesday, but Matthew's intention is not to provide a chronological account of Jesus. He is thematically hitting key themes.
Nayate ye mbatayo mukuandika kwe tagendera kutuwa ebintu nga bwe byatambula naye kyagendera okutuwa gyemiramwa emikulu.
And so what Matthew was doing is he is thematically, poignantly saying, this happened here, now this happened here. This is the purpose here, this is the purpose here. And in order to do that more poignantly, he merges the events together. Now, let's look at these details. We know that the timing of the account first starts on the Tuesday and then the Wednesday. On Tuesday morning, Jesus enters the city. And before he cleanses the temple, the Bible says that Jesus becomes hungry. Now, this is awesome. Here we see the creator of the universe who made all the trees, who makes all fruit by a spoken word.
Great
is the fact that he gets hungry and wants something to eat.
Nalabikira mu mubiri kati ngaali muntu nga mubiri alaga nti naye yalimu enjala nabera nga yetaaga ekyokulya.
And this text shows that Jesus not only was God, but Jesus was man, fully man, fully God.
Era ekitundu kino kitulaga nti Yesu Kristo yali muntu ate la yali Katonda. Yali muntu ddala era Katonda ddala.
In theological terms we call this the hypostatic union.
Kati mululimi olwekinadini.
It is the belief that Jesus had two natures, a human nature and a divine nature, and they were united into one person.
Ekigambo ekyo kitegeeza nti Yesu Kristo yalina enkula za mirundi ebiri. Yalina enkula ey'obwa Katonda ate n'enkula ey'omuntu nga zonna ziri mu muntu omu.
His hunger pains on that early Tuesday morning led him to approach a fig tree.
Era kumachoko natambula ngalu agenda awali omutini.
A fig tree that was just passing along the way.
Era omutini kuno gwali kumabali gekkubo.
Which was, according to Jewish law, was free for anybody to eat from.
Era ngokusinzira kumateka agechi Yudaya, omutini kuno gwali gwademe buli ayitawo kukubo kusobola okulyako.
As long as they weren't packing it and taking it out of the home, they were free to eat from the trees.
Baba nga bademe okunogako ne baya naye nga sirowooza nti bali bakkirizibwa okwetikka ne batwala.
That brings us to the second word.
Kino kituleeta ku kigambo
ekyokubiri.
Ekigambo kukolima. Ekigambo kukolima.
In Matthew chapter 21 verse 19 it reads this.
And
seeing a fig tree by the wayside, he went to it and found nothing on it but only leaves.
Nalaba omutini gumu kumabali gekkubo nagutuukako nasanga nga tekuli kintu wabula amalagala amerere.
And he said to it, may no fruit ever come from you again.
Nagugamba nti tobalanga bibala emirembe n'emirembe.
And the fig tree withered at once.
Amangu ago omutini ne guwotoka.
It's important that we understand before we look into this fig tree and all that takes place, that we understand fig trees.
Katusoka tutegereko ku mitini gino katina kutegera.
The fig tree is often represented as a tree used to represent Israel.
Omutini kuno bulijjo gukozesebwa okubanga gutegeeza Isirayiri.
Like jackfruit to SOS.
Nga ate ne fene.
Come on,
fene.
Come on, Basava, I'd expect you to be louder than that. You're Mr. Fene.
Bane fene twandibadde tuzamu fene.
As fene is to SOS, fig trees are to the land of Israel.
Nga fene bwali ekibala ekya SOS ate n'emitini gino bwekityo bwe gyali nga gitegeeza.
They were highly prized.
Gyali gitwalibwa ng'ekintu ekikulu ennyo.
You remember when Jesus met his disciple Nathanael, he was sitting under a fig tree.
Era mujjukire nti Yesu Kristo.
When Nathanael, the Jesus disciple, when he met Jesus, Nathanael was under a fig tree.
Era Nathanaeli buyasisinkana Yesu Kristo yali ali wansi awomutini.
When the spies went out to spy out the land of Israel, what did they come back with? Figs.
Era n'abaana ba Isirayiri bagenda mu Yeriko okubeera nga baketta, biki bye baakomawo nga balina ebibala eby'emitiini.
People outside Israel knew that Israel was the place for figs.
Era buli muntu yenna yali akimanyi nti emitiini gisangibwa mu Isirayiri.
Figs you ate in the morning for breakfast, you ate them at lunch, and you ate them for dinner, just like jackfruits.
Kati emitini gino gyalibwanga ku makya ekyenkya ekyemisana n'akawungeezi ng'abangi kuffe bwe tulya fene bwe tutyo.
And if you're Anthony Basaba, you have them for dessert and break tea as well.
Ate bw'obeera nga gwe Basaba ogenda kubeera ng'obiryanga ne dessert.
So due to the popularity of figs,
olw'okumanyika ennyo okw'emitini gino,
the Old Testament prophets often spoke of destruction on Israel, and part of that destruction would be that figs would be removed from the land, and God Himself would do it.
Eranga mekatonanga obunabibunjinga bubuliwa banabibwe babuliranga babulianga nti okuzikiriza kugenda kujja nebwe kunakuze nemiti nijonna kigenda kubanga kuzikirizibwa era Katonda yenyini nga yakikola.
This is seen in Psalm 105 verse 33.
Kino kirabibwa mu Zaburi 9,
Jeremiah 8:13,
ne mu Yeremia olusura ya 8 nyere
10, Hosea 2:12,
Yosea esura 2 nyere 12,
chapter 9 and verse 10 and 16 of Hosea,
mu sura yo 9 ne 10 ya 10
omukaga, and in Micah 7,
ne mu Malachi 7 nyere soka paka kulomuka.
He, God, speaks that I, as judgment, will remove figs and vines from your land.
Njia kuleta okusala omusango mbere nga nzijamu emizabibu okuva mu nsi yammwe.
To the contrary, it, as well, or in addition to that, God speaks of the prosperity or the restoration of His relationship Israel as fig trees being in Israel and bountifully.
Era ne mungeri endala bwanabanga tazikiriza ayogera ku ngeri eyokubaza oba eyokubawa omukisa ne babeeranga balina emizeyituuni n'emitiini mingi nnyo mu ggwanga
lyabwe. That's clear from Zechariah chapter 3 verses 9 and 10. We need to understand figs and Israel and their relationship play a big visual, a big illustration for the nation of Israel.
Abayisraeli n'emizeyituuni bazanya n'emitiini bazanya balina enkolagana nungi nnyo wakati mu kwogera ne mu
mitendera
mingi. Okulaba
trees without fruit are what? Dead. It's an illustration used right there. What's he referring to? Fig trees.
Omuti ogutalina bibala kiki kyolesa ki? Kyolesa era kiba kyogera kwogwo omuzeyituuni.
So Jesus, who is the master illustrator,
Yesu Kristo yasinga okutuwa ekyokulabirako ekirungi,
is going to use this fig tree as a huge lesson for the nation of Israel.
Agenda kubanga akozesa ekyokulabirako kino ng'atwolesa eggwanga lya Isirayiri.
So now listen. On that Tuesday morning, when Jesus and his disciples are traveling to Jerusalem, and he sees leaves on that tree, he approaches the tree because he knows where there are leaves on a fig tree, there must be
fruit. Nagenda ku mutini guno kubanga yali akimanyi nti omutini oguliko ebikoola gulina okubanga guliko n'ebibala.
Let me tell you how fig trees produce.
Kambabuli engeri gyebikolamu.
Before leaves come, fig trees would produce these fruits.
Ebibala nga tebinakujja eby'emitini
the fruits were green and they could be eaten, but they weren't as good as ripe fig trees. Kind of like some of my kids eating all of our mangoes off of our tree before they're ever ripe.
Kakati n'ebikola bino bibeerako naye bibeeranga kwebine nga bikyali bya kiragala. Ng'era abaana abamu bwe balya emiyembe naye nga teginaakola ki?
You can eat them, but they're not very good. They're better when they're ripe, right?
Kubanga, nti osobola okugirya nga tegina kwengera, naye tegiwooma nnyo bwe giba gikoze ki? Gyengedde.
Everyday way people would eat them for hunger purposes.
Kakati emitiini gino, ebibala by'emitiini byabeerangako, ng'omuntu asobola okugulya, naye nga tegunaba kwengera, olw'okuba nti nno alumwa enjala.
The leaf would come out.
Ebikoola bivaayo.
Then you would wait.
Norinda.
And you would wait.
Norinda.
And then finally they would ripen, and then you could eat them till your heart's content and enjoy them. So with that, this tree has leaves. It means those little green things are there, and now there are fruits to be what?
Kakati olw'okuba nti omutiini guno guliko ebikoola kitegeeza kuliko ebibala
And just like my mango trees, everybody wants to eat them before their neighbor eats them, so they go get them too early. And so Jesus is going to benefit. The problem he realizes is that the leaves on these trees are advertising fruits, but there is no fruit. The tree is a non-producer. And it's because it wasn't time for them. Not because it wasn't time for them, it's because in the end of the day, the tree was not what was fake in terms of its ability to produce. And so as a result of that, Jesus says, may no fruit ever come from you again. He pronounces a curse on the tree.
Yes, nagamba mutiguno. Toddangamu kubala emirembe nemirembe. Au yali alangirira ekikolimo eryo mutiguno.
Now,
kakati.
This was Tuesday. He goes after that and he throws over the temple.
Nayingira mu yekalu nataliko kukasuka eri ebintu byabantu.
And he goes home.
Naddaye waka.
Now on Wednesday,
kulwokusatu,
according to Matthew and Mark,
the
disciples observe the tree that it's withered all at once, and they are mesmerized. Clearly, this was a miraculous event. Now let me say something before we go to the third word. Let me first say this. Someone can look at this story and say, was Jesus angry with the tree? And they can think Jesus was just rash and he was enraged by lifeless objects that were irritating him. Well, to think that would mean to miss the whole point. Jesus wasn't angry with the tree. But if he wasn't angry with the tree, it drives the question, what was that problem? Why did he do this to the poor tree?
Kakati wa yaling bwabanga yali tasunguwadde. Lwaki yakola kye yakola n'akolimira omuti?
There's no question this is not an act of anger against the tree, but it's happened for a purpose. The purpose is to make it lesson, illustrate a point.
Kakati tebwali busungu ne Yesu Kristo yakikola nga alina ekigendererwa okusobola okulaga obukulu obw'ekyo kye yali
ayogerako.
Era yali alina ensonga bbiri lwaki yatuwa ensonga esooka y'eno.
Isirayiri
eringa
Israel is like the fig tree.
Yisirayiri eringa omutini. Yisirayiri eringa chi?
It shows life from afar.
Etunulia obulamu okuvewala.
But bears no real fruit.
Nayenga teina bibala byennyini ebyamazima.
It advertises true religious worship.
Erangirira amazima amatufu.
But only fails to produce true worship. Israel is producing false advertisement of true religion or devotion to Jesus Christ. Proper confession bears no fruit or evidence in the life of
Israel.
The practice doesn't match the words.
And
this is prophet after prophet after prophet saying, Israel, you have a problem, you have a problem, you have a problem.
In
Ezekiel chapter 33, the prophet tells Israel, in verse 30 and 32, he says, come, hear the message
that
come from the Lord. Come, my people, come to you as they usually do and be sit before you to listen to your words. But they don't put them into practice. With their mouths they express devotion, but their hearts are greedy for unjust gain.
Indeed,
to them you are nothing more than the one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice. And plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. The prophets are saying, listen, you show devotion. You show hunger, but you don't obey God.
That's you,
Israel. And I think Jesus is using this illustration of this fig tree right here and saying, listen, not only did the prophet say it, but I'm saying it right now.
Kati Yesu Kristo kichiro cha gamba. Banabibo kasiwe vokele vigambo vino.
There's a second truth I think that Jesus is driving home here. The second truth he's driving home regarding this fig tree is a curse, that Israel's wrath of God is coming on Israel. They are cursed. This generation is not going to experience my blessing, they're going to experience a curse. I'm giving you over to your deadness. I'm giving you over to your lostness. Jesus is powerfully demonstrating that God is taking this religious people who show signs of hope by their religiosity, but he's saying, I'm done, it's enough, it's over, your time of grace has ended. Israel is fruitless, and therefore I'm giving them over. Why? Because their heart never belonged to the Lord. Why? Look at me here. Why? Because I'm tired of your hypocrisy. I'm tired of your heartless worship. I'm tired of your professions, Lord, Lord, and then you go and live lives of sin. I think what Matthew's gospel is doing, and the reason why he separated these two events, is because Matthew first wants to say, listen, let me show you your worship problem. Let me show you by giving you over by showing, by lifting all the tables and throwing them over and declaring your worship, I'm tired of it. Let me show you.
Kakati kino mataya chikolo kubala ganti mleke mbalage biemukola mbikoye mbikoye yeso kalachia soka na agenda mwekalu navunika biebali bako emeza nenteve nari okavayo na wakabu katika mbalage obuko uguangiga yevuli.
And now in this text, let me show you, not only am I tired, but I'm done.
You're cursed.
Sawa sawa. Brothers and sisters, look at me here. Friends, look at me. Please look at me. Because there's many in this room right here. Some of you might be big employees here. That you use your job to embezzle money, to lie. You use your job to serve yourself, but in order to work here, you need to put on some sort of spirituality. Yes, Master. Yes, sir.
Abasingo
But in reality,
and
you're here today, because it's going to help your advancement. Maybe I'll get more business. But in reality, your lifestyle is completely contrary to God and to His will. This message is not just for Israel, it's for you. And not only is it for you, but it's for every one of us, that we might fear hypocrisy in our
own
lives.
Dear friends,
you see, Israel knew that if they disobeyed God as king, they would be cursed and removed from the land.
Deuteronomy 28
and following makes it very clear.
But they also knew
there were promises that if they obeyed when the Messiah came, they would be restored to the land.
And
Jesus is coming here right at this moment and saying, listen, I am here, you failed to repent, and my blessings are not coming on you now, they will have to wait for a future day.
Kakati Yesu Kristo aliwana agamba nti amazima gali nti weta ago kwenenya bubanga tewenenyeza waliwo olunaku olujja olwa musango ngalugenda kubeerawo mu maaso.
He's now saying this. The axe is no longer at the foot of the tree. It's now in my hand and it's about to be cut down.
Yesu Kristo kyagamba nti kati embazi ekwatiddwa eri mu mukono gwange era enetera okutema.
Dear friends.
Mikwano jange.
Dear friends.
Mikwano jange.
Where are you?
Oyimiridde wa?
Are you professing Jesus Christ and not surrendering to Him? Is your profession matching your practice? Are you being religious but not really worshiping? How was your worship this morning?
You
favor of my soul, thank you. Is that you?
Amazima gali nti oyimbye nti okuyayana kw'omutima gwange kwe kugamba nti no webale, webale.
Or are we like?
Oba obeera bubeezaawo kutuusa luwalo anti nazze.
J.C. Ryle, the great Anglican Bishop of Liverpool, said high religious professions without holiness among a people. Emotional confidence in councils. Bishops. Liturgies and ceremonies. While repentance and faith have been neglected, have ruined many within the church in times past, and may yet ruin many more.
There you go.
He says, where is the church of Ephesus? Where is the church of Sardis? They're all gone. Why? They had leaves but no fruits. Let us remember, he says, let us beware of church pride. And let us be not high minded, but fear. Brothers and sisters, let us fear that God would say enough with Community Church of Kubamitwe, enough with your false worship, I'm destroying it. May we fear and hate hypocrisy as God hates it. And fear that God would give us over to our own destruction as He's doing Israel. Fear that God would stop extending His grace and bring a curses upon us, revealing our hypocrisy. Oh dear friends, may we never forget that God hates lukewarm Christians. And may we always heed the words of James chapter 1 verse
22-25,
which says, do not merely listen to the word and deceive yourself. Those who listen to the word but do not do what it says, do not be those people. Friends, look in your own hearts. Pause for a moment and look in your own hearts. Where are you at? How is your affection for God? How is my affection for God? Come with me now to the third word. The third word. The third word is astonishment. Look with me in verse 19 and 20. The end of verse 19 it says, and the fig tree was withered at once. And when the disciples saw verse 20, they marveled, saying, how did this fig tree wither at once?
Amangu ago omutini neguotoka. Olwabiri, abayigiriza webalaba nebewunya nebagamba nti omutini guwotose gutya amangu.
We recognize that this fig tree's withering wasn't just a normal event. It was a miraculous event.
Tulaba nti okuwotoka kw'omutini kuno tekwali okuwotoka okwa bulijjo, naye kwali kuwotoka okw'ekyewuunyo.
And according to the disciples, they were mesmerized by this.
Okusinziira ku bayigirizwa, bo beewuunya nnyo olw'ekyo kye baalaba.
And Peter, like he always does, just says what he thinks. How did this tree wither? I don't think Peter was trying to understand the mysteries of miraculous power so he can do these things.
I just think he's speaking
out loud. What I find interesting here is that Jesus actually answers his question. Because when you look at the context before and afters about wrath, why does he answer this question right here? Why does he draw attention to the fact that the need for prayer? What complement does this bring to what Matthew's trying to bring out? Well, let's remember what just happened. Jesus cleansed the temple, and what did he criticize Israel for?
Yesu Kristo yamazo kulongosa yekalu ne yabavunanye musango chi.
My temple is my Father's house, and it's supposed to be a house of what?
Prayer.
And you've turned it into this thievery business.
Nayate mujifude echigo chaba.
Rather than praying, you're stealing. Now he's addressing prayer itself. The context at large is all surrounding God's wrath and condemnation of Israel.
And
Israel's lack of true devotion to God. And I want to suggest to you that this issue of prayer is at the heart of the problem.
Israel
doesn't pray. They do not commune with God.
And
so Jesus uses this as an opportunity to address the issue of prayer, which takes us to the fourth word. You could say lesson or you could say prayer. Either one would be fitting. This is a lesson that Jesus drives home to the hearts of his people. Now, in light of Pentecostalism, I want you to listen closely to these words. Verse 21. And Jesus answered them, "If you do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, you will what? Receive if you have faith."
Yes, madamu nabagamba nti, mazima mbagamba nti, bwe munabanga n'okukkiriza nga temubuusabuusa, temukole nga kino kyokka eky'omutiini, naye bwe muligamba olusozi luno nti, "Situlibwa, osuulibwe mu nnyanja," kirikolebwa. Ne byonna byonna bye munaayagalanga nga musaba, nga mukkiriza, munaabiweebwanga.
Now this isn't the first time Jesus has addressed mountains being thrown in the seas.
In
Matthew 17 verse 20, he brings this same illustration. Now listen to me. When you hear these words, and you hear the thought that if you pray,
You
will have power to dry up fig trees.
And move
mountains from one place into the sea.
That Jesus is saying,
listen, this mountain here, Jerusalem, you can pick it up, or the Mount of Olives, you can pick it up and you can throw it into the Mediterranean Sea. That sounds pretty awesome. Most of us here, we immediately think this passage through the lens of Pentecostalism. And we start claiming that we have such power. We have such ability. Now let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever seen a Christian pick up a mountain and throw it into the sea? Anybody? Anybody ever see someone go to a jackfruit tree because they couldn't get fruit from it, or because there were worms in it, and they curse a tree and it's dried? Anybody see that? Everybody together?
No.
So therefore we know that the point is not picking up mountains and throwing them in the sea.
No, so tumanyi bulungi nti ensonga ya Yesu siku situla nsozi nga ozisula mayanja.
What is Jesus' point?
Yesu chichi ategeza wano.
His point is that your prayer mixed with undoubting faith will enable you to do incredible things. And he's using hyperbole language, that is exaggerated speech, to prove a point. His point is that God will help you, aid you to do incredible things when you are a person of prayer. Now listen, we know that the Antichrist, there is coming what is the Bible calls an Antichrist, and in the power of Satan, he will do crazy, miraculous things. But miraculous powers are not part of God's normal plan in this age.
It doesn't mean
they don't happen. It doesn't mean that we don't pray for them. But it's not the normal way God does things. He does those things at very unique times in history when he's trying to say, send us a massive message like, I am here.
And
the Bible promises in the future, at the return of Christ, these things will reappear. But with that, right now, that's not the normal way things are happening. Can they happen? Yes. God can do anything. Can we pray for miracles? Yes, absolutely. But see, due to Pentecostalism
and
our age, we look at these passages and we read what we want into the text.
Jesus'
purpose was to show that prayer can, with faith, can do much. And that they must be people of prayer. They must go and commune with the Lord and call upon Him. And I think He's using this to say, listen, pray, pray, ask God for things. But now listen. Some of us will look at this text and we'll say, wait a second here. I want to throw mountains. I'm
going to
start claiming it. I'm going to start praying for it. But what would the point be of throwing a mountain into a sea? Why would you want that? Why would you pray for that? Is it for your own self-exaltation? You say, no, no, I want to make God known. Normal people don't pray for mountains being thrown. Okay, that's not normal.
A true
godly man or woman is not going to ask God to move a mountain. He's
going to
ask God to move a heart. Which is far greater miracle and has far greater eternal value. A God lover is going to humbly request of God, not according to His will, but according to God's will. And will be content with God's answer. A godly person is going to faithfully ask God to work in his life for great purposes and to help him do awesome things. And listen, he's doing awesome things. Every visitor this last week says, wow, God has miraculously moved in this community. Listen, look at your own lives. Hasn't God transformed you from circumstances to bring you here of all
places?
I don't think Jesus is telling his disciples here that their faith and their prayer is going to be that as a result of having strong faith and prayer, they're going to be faith healers. I think what Jesus is doing here is he's encouraging and motivating his disciples to, with great confidence, be people of prayer. Because he knows, according to James
5:16,
that the effective prayers of a righteous man will accomplish what? And I think he's calling the Jews back to their old time religion. Heartfelt, passionate, faith filled prayer to God. I think what he's doing is saying, disciples, listen. My house must return to become a house of prayer. Dear friends, prayerless Christians are often lifeless Christians. While prayerful Christians are often powerful Christians. Because they are Christians who live on their knees.
Kubanga be bakulisitayo abavunama ku mavivi gabwe mu maso ga Katonda.
Not just with their mouths.
Bote babeerawo nga babyogerako bwogezi ne bikomaawo.
Our prayer is that God would turn our hearts to full devotion toward Him.
Katonda abeerenga akyusa emitima gyaffe gibeerenga gyonna gyewaddeyo.
My concern as I end. My concern is that right in this room, we have Charles Ponzi's. People who are using religion to benefit rather repenting of their sins and being devoted to God from the heart. Which is demonstrated by a heart of prayer. May we hear the words of John the Baptist. The axe is at the foot of the tree. Many who say to me, Lord, Lord, will not enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of their Father. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, we know that all true biblical miracles will always give you glory. And man will never be in the way. And I want to thank you for all the miracles you've done right here in Kuba Mitwe. I want to thank you that you've done them through this broken vessel and many broken vessels around here. Normal, weak humans, so that you would be put on display. And Father, we thank of the disciples and the religious leaders seeing all of your miraculous things, enjoying them, hearing them preach, responding with some form of zeal, but never understanding, never repenting, but being cursed and thrown into hell. And we would ask that that would not be true of our people here. Help us to that end, we pray. Amen.